I make a small experiment. Basically, I will tell several ideas straight, one after another, and later maybe I'll cut the video to pieces if it doesn't come out very natural. It's a Sunday morning, actually not morning anymore. It's already 1 o'clock and half. And that project of testing now, several stories straight, is just to save up my time. I'm always trying to save my time more for learning. And one thing I wanted to tell about why learning, why I'm so much into science. Of course, I'm a normal human being, and I've been pretty well with math and physics when I was young, but later I went on to study music and martial arts. And my main study was, I really trained hard in martial arts till I had no more possibility, because I just quit my country, and I was running around the world escaping persecution and being an asylum in many countries and trying to set my life up. And you know, you don't have much time for martial arts in these situations, but I did try to teach martial arts to others as well. And that because of the computer age and cell phone age, I didn't find students who really wanted to train as hard as I did when I was young, every day, every single day, for many hours. So I didn't want to teach people who just make it a hobby and show off thing for others, instead of really learning to know art deeply. So I was forced to quit as well, but because of life, because of my work in security, and I did have a lot of practice. Instead of just training, I had real practice a lot, and it kept me physically in shape. But this wasn't a real topic I wanted to talk about today. It's just an introduction about science. I started to talk science. So as I was away from my family and from my children, I had pretty depressive times. I even took antidepressants. So I realized I wouldn't be able to leave. I had some suicidal thoughts as well. But I'll get into that later, why I didn't even contemplate to kill myself in that stage in my life. I already passed that when I was younger. So I was just in these thoughts, very, very deep and dark, because I couldn't see my family. But the escape from it was science. I realized that when I delve deeply into studying something, that's a different world. Everything, all the problems just disappear. It worked better than antidepressants. I took couple of months. I took antidepressants. It was so hard. I couldn't even work. I worked in one institution where I had to concentrate on documents, and I couldn't concentrate. It was so hurting was the situation. So I had to take very strong antidepressants. But not to continue with the medication, I just started to study all kind of science I could get my hands on. I even took like huge books. It was in times when I didn't use so much, internet wasn't so much available then. It was just, it wasn't on Wi-Fi yet, it was on old cable. So and mobile internet was very expensive at that time. So I bought books, and even books for just basic books for school, like school age people, like fat books like that, all about science, every kind of science. And I just learned, just to not to think about my problems. And that's why I got so much more curious about science. When you learn more, you understand more, and you will get more curious about certain things. So I'm still now, I have so many projects to learn, but right now meteorology is my main topic of study. But I have other projects to keep learning. So basically, this was escape from the problems, and it really helped. Science is very good medication. I mean, I forced me to study in the first, because even though when I was school times, I was very good at math and physics, and I was in competitions at schools, and I was always second and third and never first, but I was pretty high level on that. It came easy to me, but it wasn't my, I wouldn't like to be a scientist. But as it came easy to me, and I got curious, I cured myself from depression with science. So I respect science. Maybe one side is it is my medication. Whenever I have problems, I just take something which I'm curious about, and I just concentrate on that, and I keep studying. So that now I recently learned. I mean, I was thinking about also when I created my cryptography method, which is still the most I think it's the strongest cryptography, handwriting cryptography method that exists. I was back then thinking that everyone can do that. Everyone can learn cryptography. And same with science. I thought, why you don't learn science? Just when you have problems, take a science and all the problems are gone, because you really have to understand. And when you have to understand, you have to concentrate. And when you concentrate, the rest of the world doesn't exist. So it's very, very, very good medicine. But later I learned also that our brains are different, that not everybody is capable of that. The brains are so much different, actually, which is knowledge already from 40, 50 years ago, from 60s, in half a century at least, this has been known. But unfortunately, the society wants to make everyone equal, but the brains are different so much that some parts of for example, visual cortex or our processing of words or whatever processing of sounds, these parts of a brain can be up to 40 times in size difference. Imagine that, 40 times. So if somebody cannot understand mathematics, you cannot force. Imagine that you compete with someone it's only 1 meter high, try to run with someone who is 40 meters high. I mean, in our brain is such difference. I have to repeat this name, but this Russian scientist, so not everybody can understand Russian, but it's a Russian brain scientist, Sergei Savelyev. He explains very well and gives very much examples. I've been following his studies for several years now. But before I learned that that our brains are so different, I thought everybody is capable also of learning my cryptography method. So now I have to take my words back a little bit and think not everyone maybe can catch up with that. I wrote my book about it, that everyone could. But in very basic level, yes. But in very basic level, it won't be so safe that it won't be possible to crack the code. But for personal use, just for noting up some passwords or bank codes, it would be enough. But I mean, for learning it on a highly secure level, maybe not everybody is capable of. So that's just a short saying that also the science, maybe it's not medicine for everyone. So everyone's brains are so different. So, and also our knowledge, our experience in life, if I even tell some basic things from life and basic stories, that it doesn't necessarily connect with you, and you may understand it differently than I try to express because of different studies, different knowledge, life knowledge, and different life experience. So if what I'm saying, what I'm talking is not for everyone, that's the reality. Unfortunately, I cannot expect that everyone understands the things I'm saying exactly as I meant them to be understood. So I'm just checking my notes. I to make my stories faster, I just make quick notes what I want to talk about, which kind of stories I want to tell. So even if I'm not connected, and I will post maybe the video in one go, not to cut, not to waste time on cutting in parts. You understand that these are just collected stories from different notes. I made all these notes yesterday. Just I had some ideas that what kind of videos I would like to tell my stories about. Aging. I don't remember exactly what I wanted to tell about aging, but let me think. Because I've written about aging. All my blogs on WordPress, they've been on topic of aging in the beginning, only on topic of aging. But later I added so many different topics that I had to separate my blogs into different, open different blogs to different topics, and my youth extension WordPress blog became a conglomerate of everything. I dropped them in the politics and my life stories and whatever came to my mind. So it's not dedicated anymore to my aging, but aging was always my curiosity from a very young age, because since maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, I already knew from the science, from some basic science which my parents told them, and from the books they gave, I learned that our cells are renewing every 7 years. So basically, why we age, it wasn't clear to me. From very young age, I was all thinking that if you only think that you won't age, you shouldn't be aging. But the aging is just a habit. That we really see people aging, some people are getting ill. And that's why we age also, that we think that it's normal. But aging is actually illness. It's just our accumulated health problems which show up. And that's why many scientists now these days call aging as a curable condition. So aging is, there is no such thing as aging as such. If you point to aging, it means some illness. If something fails in your organism, and also our face or whatever, our skin getting older and organs older, it's just accumulated damage. It's illness. So it in future it will be possible to cure, but this is not a complete topic I wanted to talk about. The aging as such, I don't remember. I made a note yesterday talk about aging, but it must be inside. My current opinion is it must be our mindset as well, very much, very much. Like example, someone tells you something which stresses you, some news or just some insults or whatever, you can get a heart attack. Heart attack or some insult and some brain damage just from the stress. And this affects your age, which affects your health, which affects your age. So the words very much affect you, who you are in a health condition. And you know, if you fall in love and or if you have some good news, if you are a money-minded person, then if you get some good cash, you know, you are elevated in your health and everything. So it's all in your mind. It's only a mindset. So now science has proven also a placebo effect, all these things which are showing that it is not just your mindset, it's also your physical condition, your physiology is affected by your thinking. So aging is part of your physiology, and thinking should be able to affect very, very strongly your aging. And that's what I'm working on now with my own meditation methods. But I don't want to reveal all the secrets right now, because they may look a little bit crazy unless you understand the underlying science, why I came to that conclusion, what should I do in my thinking. So, as not everyone is capable of understanding, because our brains are different, I'm not talking about my own specific meditation methods right now, unless I see that it really has effect. I'm getting older, I realize that. I'm not naive, you know, but if I will start getting younger, maybe I well, I mean physical condition, if I will get somehow steadily younger and younger in my look as well, so I will talk about my meditation methods more. So as I talked about suicide, thoughts about suicide during my escape, and I'm still in exile, and I can't go back to my country. But it's another story. The point is that I'm long over it, and I was over the suicide thoughts already when I was maybe 14, 15, because I really was so close to committing suicide that I basically told to some people that I'm going away from this world. And I prepared, I've written an article about it in my WordPress blog, if you want to know all the details, what I did and how I decide not to. Then I'm getting to the point why I'm talking about this. So I realized that the death to die is actually the thing that people talk thinking about is wrong. People often think, most people, I guess, think that, as I was also before my suicide ideas, I was thinking about death like something to be scared of. But actually, the death, if you think it right, is an enormous liberating power. It gives you power to do anything in life. I traveled, I made so many crazy things. I traveled around the world, been well over 30 countries and in mountains and in Siberia and in Far East and crazy places alone. After I escaped the death from my own hands when I was a teenager, because I realized that I can do it anytime. I don't have to end my life right now. As soon as my life gets so difficult and I get into impossible condition that it's constant suffering, then I can end my life. You know, it's a liberating power. It's contrary to be scared of death. I'm thanking that death exists, because if life gets so terrible that it's continuous suffering, I can end it. It's off switch, and maybe to be born in a better place. I don't know if the rebirth is real or not, but there are many proofs that people who have been reborn remember their past lives. But as I, these are not my first-hand experiences, I cannot tell if it's true or not. But I mean, at least that is off switch. I don't know if it's off and on again, but off is possible. So you can end your suffering any moment. So this is the fact of capacity to create your own death, let's put it that way, is enormous liberating power to do anything with your life that you want, to test the limits of your possibilities in your life and capabilities whatever it would be. After I almost ended my life when I was a teenager, I gained enormous power with knowledge that I can end it anytime I want. And then I became truly free to live my life as I wanted to live it. With some restrictions, of course, because I know the consequences if I don't work or if I don't respect the society, whatever. Normal thinking, of course. I know my limits. So still, I changed my life many times, going to leave to another country. And as I said, I traveled around the world in over 30 countries, 38 countries, I think, total. So I lived in 10 countries for a longer time and started every time life anew. Because if life doesn't work out to my ideal, let's say, to my modest ideal, to have a decent life, a decent salary, and a decent condition to live, if I see it doesn't advance, I just pack my things, leave everything behind, go to another country to try my chance, to try a lottery there, let's say, life lottery, if I can find a better job and better condition, and maybe better weather, and etc., etc. So that the idea of that I can end that suffering anytime I want to, I just pack my things and go another thing, other place in the world, and living on the street for months, and while even going to work, and it's never been true suffering to me, because true suffering is in your heart. I've experienced that. So all the physical is just an exercise and experience in life, which may even be a topic to write a book about one day, but the point is that about aging as well. If I that's now I realize why I was connecting with death and everything. So if I truly believe that aging as such is just a mindset, and it affects me so strongly that I can prolong my life as long as I want to live, then I'm always like in the beginning of life. So I don't see like time is passing, I have to go, I have to get a job, I have to earn so much money, I have to get family now, and I have two children, but I'm not in a hurry to get new ones or whatever, because If whenever I want to, I can start my life anew, because as aging is in my mind, then I'm always in the beginning of my life. I can prolong my youth as long as I want to. So that's my mindset. So that's why aging is not something that I think as a time, passing time. Aging is just my mindset. And whenever I start my life anew, like now I'm in France, in Paris, but I already have a couple of spots chosen to go in the world where I haven't been yet, in case here it doesn't work out. So far it's working out fine. I mean, not for my modest needs, let's say like that, I'm doing fine. So basically, the aging as such, if you truly believe that aging is just your mindset, and you are not getting older, you are just getting stronger and more experienced, then you are not in a hurry. I'm not worrying that another year has passed and I haven't achieved what I wanted to achieve, because I'm just in the beginning. I can start anytime again, and I don't feel it as a stressful event, like going to another country and starting all from zero and living in a tent in the beginning with no money and just looking for a job and surviving. This is just another step in my life, another step in the beginning of my true life. So that's just a mindset of mine. And the death is an off switch whenever I feel like, but I don't think I need that. unless my meditation method doesn't work out and I really get so ill that I cannot take care of myself anymore, then I can switch it off, you know, and there to be reborn another time. Anyway, it's going on too long around the same thing. Now, as I've been traveling around a little bit recently, and I don't take much videos, I don't post on my blogs photos and videos from beautiful places, because I have all this in my bag, and quite a good Sony camera and tripod, and I could stop over and take nice pictures to post on my blogs, but this means I have to concentrate my mindset on something else, to take photos, to take a nice place, and it's time. And I'm trying, while I'm traveling, take it all in and to look for people. When I'm traveling, I'm looking around. I don't look just architecture or nature. I'm looking for people who live there. I mean, not people themselves, but the place they live. I see the buildings, I see the houses, how we are built, and how we're... So in my mind, it's creates the idea, I'm looking that these people, are they wasting their lives or are they enjoying their lives? I'm not in their brains. Maybe some people enjoy just to take care of this all. But if I see the huge building and, you know, it's poorly maintained, and I see the people struggling to keep up with all these small reparations and... obviously, people who don't have much money but want to live a like large life and larger than life to show off to someone, it's a waste of life. I mean, why you wouldn't get some smaller shack or not to waste so much time for repairing and building and taking care of it all, and you know. So I think in my mind, these people are living their life wrong. So. in my sense, so just to, for some material thing, to have some huge house and to take care, it's a work. I mean, I've lived in countryside on rich people's houses and been taking care of their houses. I know how much work it is to take care of a garden, to prune the trees, and to take out the weeds, to cut the grass, and it's a huge work. And if you want to live, I mean, if you do it all yourself, if you are not so rich that to pay somebody else to do that and have to take all of it, it's a hustle. It's a waste of life. You could live in much smaller place and enjoy the life like I am, a tiny room. If I would show you around, you'll be shocked, you know. You see, it's a wooden plate here, it's just behind. But I'm living at some friend's place right now. It's not my own. And I'm happy with that. So the idea is that to live as modesty as possible, and to have just a place to be warm, to be to place to sleep and to study. For me, for my brain, to study sciences, and that's a life I enjoy. That I don't have to waste time to take care of a big building and repairing and constantly worrying about where my money goes and. So I enjoy my life pretty much. So, and if I stop enjoying, I just go to another country and another place, maybe in the same country, but to start from zero. And travel is also always my experience, which is enjoyable. Personally, I enjoy. Not everybody probably enjoys, but it's not written down in my list, but I had my idea to talk about education a little bit, about education of parents of the children. That I think that unfortunately I didn't leave I couldn't teach my children as I wanted, because they were 2 and 4 years old when I had to leave my country, and I was in contact only by phone for a while, and until I lost my contact with them for different reasons. I know where they are now, and I know they are doing fine, they are adults. But the idea I always wanted to teach my children was to give them experience of living in tough conditions, in a tent, in a forest, little steps, like, so we are prepared. Whatever happens, we are not stressed if society collapses or even the idea of society or economy collapsing wouldn't give them any stress. So they would know what they would do, how they would act, and how they would survive in such conditions. It doesn't mean they have to live in that conditions. My mind as well, if I get money, if I make some way of my money, I will be living in better conditions. But it doesn't stress me if I don't have these conditions. So that's the mindset of an idea of teaching children to learn not to be stressed. And one way to learn not to be stressed is to teach them all kind of ways to live life, not only the way they are living right now, like say in the family, they are nice and warm and parents take care, but the mindset should be prepared to know other ways of living. So if there is a big change in society or because of natural disaster or whatever loss in life, they would know what to do in that conditions. And it has to be trained, like everything in life. To be calm, you have to be prepared to it, and you have to pass the training. So I think every parent should little by little teach their children tough side of life and experience it. Experience modest way, but experience little by little to know what is it and to teach how to come out of it, what to do, and whenever it happens, they just keep living and enjoy their life. Just another step of life. So anyway, as I'm not the perfect person to talk about education, as I couldn't teach my own children and see the results, so I will stop on that topic. But now, about abandoned buildings, when I travel, I was talking about travel. When I travel, I watch the abandoned buildings and sites like a source of opportunity. It doesn't make me sad. If I see, like, because I've been living on streets, and for me, like, if I see abandoned building, for me, it's a chance to have a roof over me. So when I see like maybe some people have died or just abandoned or nobody taking care of places, like there are so many, especially on countryside. Recent week I've been traveling out of Paris, taking small short train trips. There are so many sites which are just left behind and need to be taken care of. And if you know, there are laws in Europe from ancient Rome. That if you live in some private place, not public place, I mean, if that belongs to government, this law doesn't apply. I mean, private. If there is a private terrain and private ground, and if you go to live to that place, and you are not hiding. I mean, if you're hiding, this law doesn't apply neither. If you're hiding and don't take care of a place, you're just coming at night, sleeping and going on in the morning, this law doesn't apply. But if you take care of this place as a good owner, even though it doesn't belong to you, somebody abandoned, you found the building in a bad condition, terrain, you go to live there. Nobody chases you away. Owners are not found. You live there for 20 years, some cases even 15 years only. And you prove that you've been all these years taking care of it. Now, these days, it's easier because you can film every step you do. You can take photos and track record of your activity there. If you live like a good owner of this place for 15, 20 years, you will become an owner of this place. And whenever I see like people on the street, okay, some people are just not capable of because of their health problems or mental issues. They are not able to think that way. But there are so many young people who just see life like no light in life. So I mean, look around, go around out of town, wherever you are, there are so many abandoned places, but just go to live there, take care of it, look up the law in your country, because in every Europe there is a base of the law is based on ancient Roman law, and this is very good law. So people, if you don't take care of her even personal belongings. If there is a car, for example, if somebody uses a car for 20 years, car was left behind, I mean, but cars don't last so long usually, but it becomes yours. But the thing is, like, this ancient Rome, it wasn't meant for cars, it was meant for private property. So when I travel and I see abandoned buildings, it doesn't make me sad. It makes me glad there is an opportunity for young people who has no other light in life just to go and to take care of this place, to have a place to live, to set up their life, you know, and maybe become rich if that's your dream, you know, because you can get some abandoned palace, you know, a huge, huge building. And if you build it up with your own hands and take care. But there are some just things to know about law. You have to take up the law, because it happened to me in Italy that I found an abandoned building. It was complete trees for growing through the building already. I cut the trees, and but when I tried to make a contract for electricity to put the power inside the building with the electric company, then I was about 2-3 months, I think. Then the owner showed up, man, and chased me away, but he couldn't chase. I went myself, because he called the police, and police, I showed the police the law. That is a law. If a building is abandoned, I took all the photos, and usucapione is in Italian, this law, usucapione, so the user of his building. Then if owner didn't take care of his site, the police cannot chase me away. So I just didn't want to have any issue while owner showed up. And I was already living there. So I just packed my things. I went. I couldn't get a good mood from the owner, because he was thinking that I want to steal this building from him. I said, listen, let's make a contract. I'm going to take care of this building. But he was so angry that I even went there. So even though his building was completely destroyed, I mean, by the vegetation, which was in and out of the building. So anyway, the point I'm making, that the law is that if there is a contract with an owner, then this law doesn't apply. If owner exists, if owner comes to see this building, he lets to stay legally. I mean, he can chase you away anytime. But then this user's law doesn't apply. But if there is no owner around, it's just abandoned. The owner in other country or owners have died, then this law applies. If the building is really not taken care, even if the owner leaves. When I looked at the laws in Italy, there was one case, example case in the law in the website. When I learned the law, there was example case, but there was terrain left behind by some Italians who went to live in Italy, and after 20 years they came back. But the neighbors were using this terrain to grow crops for 20 years. So as the owner didn't care, did never show up for over 20 years, and they came back and wanted to take the terrain back, they couldn't anymore, because by the law, the terrain after 20 years became, if a neighbor wanted, of course, a neighbor had to go through a court process and prove that he'd been using, he or she had been using for this terrain for 20 years, then this became his property. So these examples exist. So check out the laws, and if you're a young person, and go around the town, wherever you are, there are abandoned buildings a lot. Find out if it's a government building, if it's a government site, the law doesn't apply. That is even one thing about the passage, the walkway. For example, if there is a private terrain, that is examples also from, I think, if I remember right, from Italian website. And if somebody was cutting his walkway through your terrain to go to work, instead of going around the terrain for 20 years, and you never stopped, you never put the sign that it's a private road, then after 20 years, you cannot forbid him to pass through his terrain. It becomes a public way. So be careful. If you're an owner, you have to take care of property. So If you let everything go after 20 years, you were thinking in your documents, okay, this is my property, now I cut this off. If for 20 years, for 20 years, somebody been using that terrain without impediment from your side, he may go to court and say that now you cannot stop him doing that. It becomes a public walkway. And these are good laws from ancient Rome, not to for society to advance, for young people to have or people who want to work to have an opportunity to for country to prosper, not to have just the owners who let their property rot, and the society also collapse little by little because the property is not taken care of. So this is very good law and exists to these days. And when I travel, I repeat again, when I travel, I don't look only the nice architecture. I look with abandoned buildings, all the city. Would I like to live there? Would I like to take care? How much work should I put in there? Would it be too much? Because it would cut my other interest in life, like science, whatever. And I'm thinking about these abandoned sites and... And that way, it gives me hope. If I see some abandoned building, it's hope for youth, hope for young people, people who want to work, people who want to take care, and who don't have any other chance to make so much money in the city, for example. When everything is, you have no place to go, everything is private, then you go outside and you will find places where you will have chance to succeed in life. More than your current opportunities probably showing you light. Anyway, next topic. Oh, probably I already told everything, because about the statistical God, I just last video I told about the science which probably is proving that God exists, but I already told that video pretty well. So what cryptography I told, basically the short notes, I already told everything, and I can make another video if I have some other ideas. I took some videos, but with my yesterday when I was traveling, also got to the countryside with the train without taking out my good quality Sony camera. I have some pocket camera since I worked in security, and it's pretty good, 1080p, and the battery lasts for 4 or 5 hours, and I could film non-stop with that if I want to, but just, you know, I took some short videos, couple of minutes, and then I thought, no, it's just a waste of time. I want to take it all in. When I travel, I want to see with my eyes. I want to really enjoy the landscape and all what's going around, and to read people's minds, how we live, instead of thinking about how I could take a better photo or better video. But I have planned, I have some cash right now, a little bit, it's coming in. So I wrote about it on my social media. So I was thinking, should I buy a 360 camera? So I don't have to think about it, where to point it, where to concentrate. I can just switch it on, and when I like some site later, I can just take from the 360 video, I can take a particular spot and direction, some photos or whatever. So that's maybe I should buy. It's like 600 euros. It's in the shop. So, and I could also use it as a security camera, because, you know, the pocket security camera, you still have to point it somewhere, and the people don't like it. Sometimes it's better to use it, because I don't need to use the footage or photos. I can just shut up the people and it works very fine. But in some cases there is a fight or something, I've been attacked because of filming, so with 360 cameras easier. You can make it look like you're watching your camera and at the same time filming everything what's going on around, or don't even watch that, just keep in hand. So it could be useful investment maybe for to 360 camera, but as I learned before buying, always make a research. I don't like some issues with that new equipment, so I will have to think 2-3 times if I invest 600 euros to this piece, as I'm not rich. 600 euros is still money which I could use to travel whenever I want to go. I have more money, but enough to go anywhere I want in the world right now. But the point is, I still want to set up maybe my home somewhere as well, maybe in France, maybe in Paris. Here I am right now, and to travel just like that. So I'm not. I don't want to waste this money just for some camera, unless I really decide that that's a good investment. So I will think 3 more times. But that's it for today, and I think it's 46 minutes right now, and it didn't come too long, so maybe I don't have to cut this video for many pieces. And I saved up a lot of time, so I don't have to post each video separately, which takes extra time. So I'll have several stories in one video. It's time-saving option for me right now. Sometimes I will be cutting some interesting parts and putting separately for promotion purposes, but I need to find time for that. This is my project, just one of ideas to promote my stories. But right now I'm posting it in one go, one video, and just please don't mind that it's so all over the place, the stories. It's just a way to have more time for other things in my life. Anyway, that's it, and till next time, I guess.